Hopefully I got my batteries on here this morning. They working? Can you hear me? This is the day. All right, here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. It is great to have all of you joining us in worship here at Aldersgate. If you're watching online, thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our worship here today. We're so glad to have all of you here. This is just a wonderful opportunity. I didn't know when Mike was doing that after a little bit there. I don't know if his batteries actually did die, but apparently they came back on. Hey, real quick, we're so excited to get into this fall. We got our children's education going again, too, as well. It's so a delight to just get that going. I love this time of year. It just warms my soul. I love the weather starting to cool off, for the most part, anyways. And football's here. It's kickoff Sunday, right? The football starts. But I honestly need to be a little serious with you here for a little bit, kind of, anyways. I need you to be praying for me, my marriage. My wife watched that Netflix documentary series on quarterbacks, and her favorite quarterback now is Kirk Cousins. I'm not sure how this is going to work going forward. But you know, I'm like, you can like him and his wife and everything, but you don't need to cheer for him now on Sunday mornings. But I guess, whatever. But hey, not sure how those Vikings are going to be. I don't have Justin Jefferson either on my fantasy football team, so I'm not going to be paying much attention to them this year. But no, we're so glad to have you here. We're going to get right into it here today. You need to know, if you're visiting us, just checking this out, maybe here for the first time. First of all, number one, thank you for being a part of it. But one of the things that we typically do here is that we go through the entire a book of the Bible and we preach verse by verse. That's what we typically do. We took a break this summer from that, and this fall, actually, we're actually going to be doing a new sermon series called The Creed, where we look at the Apostles' Creed and we break that down, just really what we believe as in our Christian faith. But after the first of the year, we're going to be going back to that, where we'll be going through the book of Acts, and we're really excited for what God has in store for all of us with that, too, as well. But for the time being, I'm going to encourage you now to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy here this morning. We're going to read a few words. I'm not going to be teaching a whole lot on this verse, these verses, but I just want to share a few things from it that I think is important for us that just jumps out at me as we just look in going into this new sermon series of the Creed. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 10. This is Paul writing to Timothy here, and he's kind of giving his final instruction to him as he moves forward and does the ministry. He says this: "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone," and this is important to take note of this, "in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, in life in Christ Jesus, they will be persecuted." There's no getting around with this. It's not going to be a little easy walk in the park. We will be persecuted. And then verse 13, take note, "while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue," and this is what I want you to pick up on, "continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. All Scripture, then, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to pause and give you thanks for your word, how it continues to guide us and edify us, Lord God, and there's so much that we can take from it. And I pray, Lord God, that this day that our ears will be open, our hearts open to, Lord, your Holy Spirit moving in this place today, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, friends, I can tell you this, that everyone believes in something. Everyone does. When I was in eighth grade, I was very reluctantly went to a confirmation class. So, and for those that might be starting that journey today, maybe you were really excited about it. Maybe you didn't want to go to it at all. But I remember going to my confirmation class then, and you need to know that I failed confirmation. That's this guy right here. Makes you really proud, doesn't it? But no, I failed confirmation. But I remember when I was in that Sunday school one time, I don't remember what the subject was for at this point, but I remember a question entering my mind saying, you know, if God is who he says he is, and there's all these things that we see in this world here today, and if Jesus is supposed to be the person that everyone's running to, and why does it seem like so many in the church, there's so many different churches in the world? Why are there so many different denominations? Why does it seem like the church throughout the world is just disunified when specifically Jesus prayed for unity? So I really kind of struggled with that and wrestled with that, and honestly, I went about my day and never gave it another lick of thought after that. And then about 7 to 8 years later, I found myself in the same church but in a new church building. And then it was at a time in my life when I was asked to come alongside. I was growing in my faith, and I was asked to come alongside and help teach in the Sunday school with the high schoolers, the youth group. And I went there, and that question that I pondered years before, another student asked that question, and I was there. And I was really intrigued by the question too as well, because I had thought about it as well. And it was really an interesting moment, because it was right after that individual asked the question that the youth leader at the time, she immediately grabbed the hymnal, and she opened up the hymnal to the back of the hymnal, and she began to read the Apostles' Creed. And she had this unique way that in the midst of, even though the church, there's different way that the churches will do different church governance, and sometimes even interpreting things differently, if we hold on to the core set of values that have been established and set throughout this time, that it was a reminder that we are really unified. And we were unified under one core message. And so she began to read the Apostles' Creed to them. And it was, she had this gift of bringing us back to the simplicity of the gospel. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in the complexity and the of our faith that when we strive to try to figure out all of who God is, we try to use our finite minds to understand the infinite God that we love, and we try to fit him into our box. We try to do it so often. And you can even read and see what so many brilliant minds have said, and they're just perplexed by who God is, and yet there's still the simple, the children can grab and wrap their mind about who God is. It's really remarkable when you look at it. But I think what we're trying to do too often is we put God in our box of understanding, and the truth is what we really need to do is be reminded of the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To get back to the roots of our faith, just is what is it that what we believe, for us to be rooted in Jesus Christ. And I think creeds do that. Creeds are very important to our faith. They are historic summaries of our Christian faith. They serve as a way to unite all believers through a shared confession, and they're used for people that are seeking out understanding of the Christian faith, that are seeking out who Jesus is. They're used to help explain and to teach just what we believe and the complexity of it. And so they're important. And we'll go through this, and I think it's important that we understand that there's three specific creeds, really, that we deal with. Three specific ones. The Apostles' Creed, which is what we're going to do this over the next 9 weeks. We're going to break that down. We're going to go over each part of it. The second one is the Nicene Creed, which was adopted by the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. And then another one that may not be so familiar with all of you is the Athanasian Creed. And the Athanasian Creed wasn't written about, wasn't penned by Athanasian or anything like that, but more so about the Trinitarian faith. And so each one of these creeds is something that the churches have really embraced by Christian, the early churches really, this has been embraced by many churches throughout history. And I believe, again, that creeds are very important. They help us teach the faith, but creeds are, it's important you hear this, creeds are not scripture. They're not. They're not to be worshipped as that either. They are literally words that have been put together, but they're rooted in scripture. They're summarizing the apostles' teaching, and they do not deviate from the word of God, but they actually are grounded firmly upon scripture. And so each of the creeds reflect the church's commitment to sound doctrine and to our Trinitarian faith, that this is what we believe. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but we believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this Trinity is three in one, but it's one God. And so this really helps us to really explain our sound doctrine. But if we're going to focus on the Apostles' Creed, you could almost summarize that the Apostles' Creed could be seen as the creed that unites all Christians. It was developed early in the history of the Christian faith as the faith was spreading beyond the bounds of Judaism. You have to understand that for the most part, the Hebrew converts believed that Jesus was the Messiah that was prophesied about in the law, which is the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. But as the church grew, as more came to know who Jesus was, it was spreading through the Gentiles, and the church needed a way to explain its most important beliefs, its core truths. Thus, the Apostles' Creed was developed, and some of those drafts of the Apostles' Creed actually date back to AD 200, but really it was around AD 500 when it found its way into its final form. Now, even though it is best known as the Apostles' Creed, it was not written by the apostles. Again, it was meant to summarize their teachings and to share the story of God condensed down. That's what it was. So throughout this series, we're going to break it down and to look at the foundation of our faith, to examine the roots of our faith and what it all means. When we say that I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so we'll look at all of it. But today, I'm just going to share with you the importance and the purpose of creeds and their importance to us today. And I don't think we should neglect them, as I mentioned. But out of the creeds that I mentioned here already, there's two points that I think I want to share with you. Two points. The first point is this, that creeds are inevitable. They're inevitable. No matter what, everyone has a creed. You might not put it down in paper, but everyone has a creed, and let me explain why. We live in a postmodern world, and in a postmodern world, the idea or belief of any creed seems to be a sign of intellectual failure. Some believe that you cannot be bound to a creed or somehow still be able to be a true critical thinker if you hold on to any type of belief system, especially belief in God. There's this common criticism that those of us who believe in Jesus Christ or those who believe in anything is just simply ridiculous. And you're hearing more and more and more of college professors, stories of college professors labeling any student who actually believes in God as intellectual lazy or weak-minded or simply said a fool. And if that is happening, if you're experiencing that at school, please point out that life is not possible without some form of creed. Creeds are inevitable. The Christian faith, our faith, we have them. And so does the atheist. So does the agnostic as well. Everyone has a creed. It was a British music journalist by the name of Steve Turner. He wrote a poem called Creed, in which he spoofs modernity's creed of creedlessness. And this is what he wrote. He says, "We believe in Marx, Freud, and Darwin. We believe that everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone, to the best of your definition of hurt, and to the best of your knowledge. We believe everything's getting better, despite evidence of the contrary. The evidence must be investigated, and you can prove anything through evidence." And he goes on and says, "We believe that all religions are basically the same. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ on matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. We believe that man is essentially good. It's only his behavior that lets him down. This is the fault of society. Society is the fault of conditions, and conditions are the fault of society." Larry got it. Thank you, Larry. "We believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. We believe there is no absolute truth except the truth that there is no absolute truth. And we believe in the rejection of creeds and the flowering of individual thought." You know, what's really interesting here is that Turner absolutely nailed it. He absolutely nailed it, because the point that he's trying to make is this, is that everyone interprets life through the lens of some basic belief. Everyone, from Christians to agnostics to atheists, we all view through some sort of lens. There are also other creeds that are actually making their way into the church too as well. If you remember from our scripture, it tells us that there's going to be those that are going to come along to deceive, and it's going to get worse. And it has gotten worse. And it's even creeping its way into churches too as well. Some of you are probably familiar with it. Some of you, this is going to be the first time you've ever heard of it. But there's a creed that is making its way around in the very progressive side of Christianity called the Sparkle Creed, which is, I'm not going to repeat it and say it, like say what it says, because it's absolutely disgusting. It's a blasphemy and disgusting what's being said, but it's actually being proclaimed and believed in the church. And it's really, really one of those things where it's really hard to watch. And it's really hard to see. So you see it happening, but people are viewing things through a lens. Through a lens. So creeds, they're inevitable. They're everywhere. Second, creeds are useful. Creeds are useful. The church didn't just come together when we came up with the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. They didn't just come together and just say, hey, let's just randomly do this. There was a lot of prayer and focus that went into this. And the beauty, it was purpose. Its purpose is to bring people together and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the story of God. And that's the beauty of the Apostles' Creed. It takes the entire Bible, it takes the entire Word of God, and it brings it down to its essence. It shares the story of God and the story of God to his world, from God's creation all the way in Genesis to eternity. It's plot that is filled with God becoming man, sharing the story of Christ's birth, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, the Lord's ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will equip the church to live faithfully and to all the way to the resurrection of the dead. And so I thought, if we're going to be doing a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, we should probably read the Apostles' Creed. Now, here's what we're going to do here today. In your pews in front of you, if you're sitting in the chairs, there should be some underneath your chairs too as well. There's this book that's there. It's not the Bible. It's called the hymnal. I can just feel like you don't like my sarcasm this morning. It's great. I'm going to ask you to open up to 691 in your hymnal here. And this is what's really cool is this hymnal is to our great Redeemer's praise. This is actually full of hymns that we've been saying through the ages. And it's actually organized based off the Apostles' Creed. But on 691, it's towards the back there. We're going to read the Apostles' Creed together. I didn't put this on the screen for this purpose, so that we would have to read it through the hymnal. So, and now I gave you a little bit here to open up. Let's read it together, shall we? It says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Hey, good job, everyone. We'll have to do that more often. But here's the deal. When we affirm our faith by reciting this creed, what we are actually doing is we are retelling the story of God. We're retelling the story of God. We are summarizing just what we believe, and quite frankly, it is a story that we should be repeating because it is worth repeating because there is just not a better story. There's just not. And whenever I recite this creed, it reminds me that God is the one that who has been chasing after me. And when we read this together, when we read this, when you go home and read this, for the countless times that we turned our back on him, the Lord has not stopped pursuing after us. For all those times that when we have felt overwhelmed or broken or confused, God has not given up on me. He's not given up on you. And every time we read that creed, every time we retell that story, that is the reminder, the message that we're sending out into the world. And maybe you're here today and you've just been overwhelmed with life, by the senselessness of life, and maybe you just can't make sense of why you're in the situation that you're in right now, and you've been struggling and you're just feeling weak and that you can't move forward and that how you can even get into how you got into this mess or you can't fix your problems. And maybe you seem like you're here today and it seems like your life is just filled with all these peaks and valleys, right? Things were good and now they're bad and it's just this roller coaster of life. And maybe there's some of you that some of these moments just feel like they're the best and the worst moments of your life. Or maybe, just maybe, you have believed in God. You have went to confirmation. You walked through all the motions. You did all the things that you were supposed to do. You recited all the right words. You went through all the motions. You've been going through all the right steps, all the right rituals. But you have just feel like you've lost God along the way. And you're desperate. And you're like, God, where are you? And then you have these moments that happen in your life. And you think that God is absent. And you're crying out to God. And you're like, God, where are you? And you think that you've prayed and he's not answering your prayer. And then you begin to realize that the answer to your prayer is Jesus. And then you realize that God is a God who doesn't give up on you. When we come into a relationship with Jesus, with God through Jesus Christ, we are now enveloped in his glory, in his beauty, in his wonder, and in the awe of God. What God is saying is that the more that we live in his presence, the more you reflect him and his goodness to the world. And when we do that, we give him honor and glory. Friends, understand this. You are the story of God to the world. You are the story of God to the world. Some of you might be thinking, oh boy, he's got work to do. Yeah. But he's good. He's good at it. He's great at it. We're the story of God to this world, but we are also, strangely enough, the glory of God to this world. And that's harder for us to wrap our minds around. The Lord God uses you and I to be his proof of life and that he is good. You know, one of the things that I love about South Dakota, a couple of things, actually. There's a lot of things I love about South Dakota, especially into this day and age. But one of the things I've always just absolutely been in love with our beautiful state is we see some of the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I look out and I'm thinking, God, you are showing off because you are painting these masterpieces, and we get to see something almost different every single night, every single morning. He never gets tired of creating it either. I love it. But maybe you begin to be captivated by how the sunrises and sunsets happen. And you ever had that moment when you've had that like transcendent experience where it just feels like all the crazinesses of life, all the noise begins to just dissipate, and you just know that God is real. He's present. Maybe you're walking on a cool morning. You step by a beautiful creek and you hear the water, the bubbling brook. And you have this moment with God and you just know that God is present. Or you are walking at night and you see the sunset and all these majestic colors, the mastery and the beauty and the wonder of his creation. And you have this transcendent moment where you begin to think, man, there is a God and a part of and you're a part of something that is just so much bigger than you. Or maybe it's with your holding your child, your four-month-old baby or grandchild, and even though they might have been crying all night. And she reaches up and just brushes her hand on your face. And then you realize in that moment that you've just been touched by God. Those moments. Or when you're with a loved one who's breathing their last, and even in the pain of saying goodbye to them, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding that enters into that place. And you know that even though there's pain of letting go, that they're going to be okay. Those moments. Those moments are the moments when your soul recognizes the presence of God Almighty. And it leaves you in awe. And it fills you with a peace. And when we reclaim our humanity, when we reflect God's essence and God's character, and when we move together as a people, we become the proof of God to the world. And friends, church for many is something that many today just, it's more of a convenience. Well, if I get around to it, I'll go. And sometimes we approach church, we approach worship with, I hope they meet my needs today. They do things the way I like it to be done. Because if it's not, then it's just not worship. So much approach worship that way. And I pray that church will no longer be something to hide from. There's something to say, it's just for me. But it's actually something to celebrate. Because actually what it means when we go to church, we don't go to church, we go to worship. We go be the church. And on Sunday morning, this is a beautiful thing. On Sunday morning, this is crazy. The world comes together. I mean, we're gathered here in this building, worshiping an almighty God. And in this city alone, there are multiple churches that are gathering and doing the same exact thing. And it's a beautiful thing. In this state, there's more. In this nation, there's even more. And then throughout the whole world, there are people gathering throughout the whole world coming together to worship the triune God that has been established and taught to us through the scriptures and through the creeds of those who have founded the faith. In the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, every single time that we read them, we must be reminded that we are a part of the story of God. And it's on us. This is our story. And it's not only our story to tell, but it's the story of our lives. It's our story to live. And these creeds, what I love about them too, is that they actually guard the church against what we do not believe. But what I love the most about it is that these creeds actually guard us from our own individualism. About the sense of entitlement, about what matters to me, and reminds us that belonging to the church, belonging in community with another, isn't just helpful to our Christian lives. It is the goal of Christian life. I was reminded about that in that room when that high school youth group leader read the Apostles' Creed. And I was reminded that when we confessed that I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Some of you are probably Catholic and are thinking, grew up in a Catholic church and think, I thought we were in a Methodist church this morning, Derek. Catholic's little c, means universal. I'm reminded just the goal of the Christian life, that Christianity is not about just me and Jesus. It's not about just me and Jesus. I mean, yeah, it's true, Jesus saves us, he saves people. But I love how one author put it. He put it like this: Jesus saves us not just out of sin, but he saves us into community. He invites us to be a part of something. And we're a part of something together. I love knowing that on a day such as today, that people throughout the world, in different languages, different tribes, all nations, tribes, and tongues, from our African Pentecostals to the Chinese house churches to the Egyptian Coptic churches, Christians, that whether it's Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Catholics, non-denominational churches, that we are all gathering. You name the church, we're gathering. And we are proclaiming and affirming just what we believe. What we believe. And friends, we worship a triune God. The scriptures teach us who he is. The Lord shows us, reveals himself through this, the written word, and more importantly, the living word, Jesus Christ. And our creeds are there to help us, guide us, and to tell us too. This condenses it down. This is what we believe. May it be so. Friends, a world needs to know who Jesus is. And the church, it's our responsibility to proclaim it. So let's go be the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for just the time that we've had today, Lord, to gather in your name, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank you for those that have come before us, that when you set them out in this world, Lord, and you encourage them to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, all of that, that they took it throughout Jerusalem and then scattered it throughout the world. And then as the church began to grow, as it began to become more and more, Lord God, you raised people up and you brought people together to come together to state just what it is that we believe. And we're thankful for all of the prayer, the many minds that went into just being concise of what our faith is, so that we could be used for us to be able to teach it. And we know, Lord, that it's so much more than what those words that we read earlier from the Apostles' Creed is there, Lord. We know, we realize, Lord, we open up your word and it is unending. But Lord, it helps us begin that conversation. So thank you. Lord, all of it, Lord, we do for your glory and yours alone. Thank you for knowing that we can believe in you. So Lord, search our hearts this day. May we be grounded in just what we believe for your glory and yours alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Friends, I want to invite you to stand as you're able. I want to thank you so much for joining us in worship here again today. Thank you for those that joined us online. As you leave here today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Christ, forever in Christ. Amen.